Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Time for Dave's Got Guests, the segment we have almost every other week on this program, and one special guest this particular week. He has been on the program three other times, so it should tell you just what I think of him and his skills as an interview guest and as just a good friend, and also a theater critic, which is what he is. He is a syndicated columnist who writes about the theater, and he's also on Manhattan Cable Television. I think it's every other week they have a new show, and then the other weeks they have a repeat, something like that. He'll tell you about it. His name is Jeff Goodman, and he is here with me in the Daverhood. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Dave. Now, Dave's Got Goodman.
Dave's Got Goodman. I'm very happy to have you as a guest again.
Always happy to be here.
So, and you're on the show, Two on the Aisle, on Manhattan Cable.
Right, with myself and Charles Gross.
Charles Gross is the co-host, and it's been on for how many years?
Oh, God knows. I think it's like 12 years or something.
Is it really?
It's like forever. I think we started in the 80s, the late 80s.
And remind people the kind of show that it is.
Oh, it's a Siskel and Ebert type show that we review theater. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we have some guests. We don't have as good guests as you do, though, Dave.
Oh, well, thank you. So, I'm going to tell people later. I've got knock wood, knock wood. You hear that wood knocking?
I hear.
A very big guest coming up in about 2 weeks. So it's like, we're going to find out today for sure.
Who is it? But,
No, most famous person we've had on here, so it'll be pretty fun.
More famous than me?
Just slightly.
Okay.
Just slightly. And even about as Jewish, but it's hard to tell.
As Jewish.
Jeff, let's talk theater. We actually have just about a half hour to do this, and which sounds like a whole lot of time.
To cover the whole theater season.
Once we get through the season, that's it. This was, last week, was the end of the theater season, the 2003-04 season on and off Broadway, and the Tonys are coming up on June 6th, and now all these other awards are happening, and the Outer Critics Circles were announced, and all that kind of thing. So,
and the deadline for voting was last night, I believe.
For the Tony voters around?
No, for Drama Desk.
Tonight. You can vote online. I know, because I'm a member.
Oh, tonight, that's right,
Thursday night. Thanks for reminding me. Yikes.
Don't forget to vote.
Anyway, you have in front of you the list of Tony nominations, so I want to go through them just a little bit to see what your thoughts are. Like, for Best Play, the nominees are Anna in the Tropics, Frozen, I Am My Own Wife, and The Retreat from Moscow. Any thoughts on what they choose and what you would choose?
I thought that Retreat from Moscow was an odd pick, since I didn't think it was a particularly good play.
Agreed.
It was rather boring.
Mm-hmm.
Well acted, but boring.
Yeah, Ben Chaplin was very, very good in that. And then what about the other pieces?
And in the Tropics, I did like, contrary to most people.
Okay.
And Frozen and I and My Own Wife are certainly good picks.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
like
that's what it's going to be between. Yeah.
Golda's Balcony should be up there. That's a very good play.
Golda's Balcony. Oh, yeah, that's
it wasn't on Broadway.
That's right. I was going to say.
Because
last year it was nominated for a Drama Desk.
Right. But this is the Tony we're talking about. So, okay. Musical. And I think it's been a surprisingly good year, all told. I mean, there haven't been many, but the ones they've had, Avenue Q, Carolina Change, Wicked, and The Boy from Oz are the four nominees, of which three are certainly worthy nominees for my money. I don't care who wins, Avenue Q or Wicked. Either one, I would be very happy.
Right.
What about you?
I wouldn't even be upset if Carolina Change won. I don't think it will, because it's not a real... It's not an Up With People musical.
Right.
It's a different type of musical, and I think it's fairly groundbreaking, because it's a musical where the heroine is not really likable.
Well, I think we've had those. They just haven't been hits, I have to think in terms of it, but there must be. I mean, like one of those old Chita Rivera things or Pal Joey or something like that.
Could be, but I thought this was well done, and it told a great story.
Gypsy. Look at Gypsy.
But you like Rose.
Yeah, in her well. Well, you end up with understanding Carolyn, sort of. She's still kind of doer.
I don't know. I actually, what's her name? Fosca. There was a play about Fosca.
Oh, there you go. There's Sondheim musical passion.
Because she wasn't real, but that still had different, it had songs and stuff. This is more operatic.
Cool. All right. Let's go over to the plays.
Okay.
By the way, one thing
on the musical, I was kind of upset because I think they should have put Bombay Dreams in.
Instead of Boy from Oz?
Well, I think given five spots.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't put a fifth slot in. I thought that Bombay Dreams is a good musical.
We're going to talk about Bombay Dreams at the end of the second.
Okay, great.
I think we'll differ a little bit on it.
Okay.
Let's just get to the other two biggies. The revival of a play, which is Henry the Fourth, Chumpers, the Tom Stoppard piece, King Lear, which was written by, I forget the author, and Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. Any thoughts?
I thought they were fairly good choices. I think that, I mean, what else would you have nominated?
I don't even remember what other shows or revivals they had on, but, 20th Century was cute. Sly Fox was, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah, Sly Fox. That's right. Sly Fox should have been in there.
Over Chumpers. Well, no, Chumpers was a very good revival of a very bad play.
Over King Lear, I think.
Yeah,
even though Christopher Plummer was good, but King Lear's King Lear, and it wasn't done.
I don't think Plummer was all that interesting.
I thought he was good, but I didn't think it was done in any intricate way.
Yeah. Henry IV was a good version.
Because they combined two plays, and they basically condensed and rewrote it.
And the first 2 hours were still confusing and boring, but it was really well done.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with those history plays until people start killing each other. Mm-hmm. Revival of a musical. This gets kind of cool. Assassins, Big River, Fiddler on the Roof, Wonderful Town.
There was one thing missing in that.
Remind me.
A Little Shop on the Lower East Side.
That's that's interesting that they left that one out.
That I thought was, I think that was far and away better than Fiddler. I thought it was, you know, I think the main problem with that is that the revival was so close to the original, they didn't want to nominate it. But the problem is that the original was like the perfect production of it.
Of Little Shop. Well, it was off Broadway. I mean,
yeah.
Actually, how can they call that a revival? And Assassins are now revivals. I guess they've changed the rules.
Yeah.
Because those shows were never on Broadway to begin with. Well. Anyway.
Well, I think it started a couple of years ago when Hamlet was up for, because Hamlet had never been up for Tony.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess. But Hamlet would have been done on Broadway.
Yes.
So.
But it was never done.
Oh, how strange.
Since the Tonys.
How totally strange. Why don't we go to, where's the score? Let's just talk about that, because I know, we're coming into musicals. You've got Taboo, which has a score by the one and only George O'Dowd, a.k.a. Boy George. Avenue Q by Roberto Lopez. There's Robert Lopez and Jeff Marks. Wicked by Stephen Schwartz. And Carolina Change by Janine Tesori with Tony Kushner helping on the lyrics. So, if musically, just musically.
Just musically, I think Wicked, far and away, has the best score.
That far away better than Avenue Q, you think?
Yeah. Avenue Q is simple music. Mm. It's clever.
Yeah.
But it's simple. Now, it's funny because I hate to bring up Drama Desk again, but Drama Desk separates music from lyrics. And in Drama Desk, my vote, and I'll tell you what it was.
Go for it.
I gave Stephen Schwartz music.
Music, and you gave
But I gave Avenue Q lyrics because I think the lyrics were, they progress the story, they do everything. Whereas the lyrics in Wicked don't really progress as much.
Okay. Luke, I've got one more category of the Tonys, and then I think we'll start talking about some of the other shows very directly. Because this is really like the strongest category of anyhow in years.
Oh, wait, let me guess. Is this Best Actress in a Musical?
It is Best Actress in a Musical. Well, why don't you run them down? I think you've got the list in front of them. Leading Actress in a Musical.
Well, we have Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel from Wicked. Stephanie D'Abruzzo from Avenue Q.
D'Abruzzo,
sorry, Stephanie. Yeah. I'm another good Italiana. And Donna Murphy from Wonderful Town, and Tanya
Pinkins from Carolina. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about Tanya Pinkins, the last time she was nominated and won
when was it? Was Broadway thing? Was it?
Yeah, it was Gregory Hines.
Jelly's Last Jam?
Yeah, because remember, that she was like, they were going to give it to her before they nominated her because there was no other leading actress to nominate.
I remember that.
And now she's like one of five who could win it.
And she could get it if the Wicked twosome split, because they were both so superb.
Or Stephanie D'Abruzzo.
I love Stephanie D'Abruzzo on Avenue Q.
She's great, though. She was my favorite in Avenue Q. My favorite was
Gary Coleman.
My little Gary Coleman.
She was awesome.
And by the way, she should have gotten the supporting actress nominee too.
But if you were going to vote as a Tony voter of these five women.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This is probably the hardest thing, but I think I don't know. I keep going back. I would vote Idina Menzel over Chenoweth.
I think she had a little more heart. I think was phenomenal. Yeah.
Tanya Pinkins, I'd say, okay, she got her Tony, so I'm not going to vote for her.
Yeah.
And although Donna Murphy won too, I thought she was great in Wonderful Town. She is Wonderful Town. Well, that and I think her co-star too.
I would split this one four ways. Tanya, I think she could have found a little more coloration in Caroline. I think she's just so relentlessly like
this. Yeah.
But the other four, every single one of them spectacular.
Jeffy,
this part has been cool. But I want to talk a little more specifically about some of the shows that have opened towards the end of the season.
Okay.
So why don't we start with a show that I think you kind of like.
More than liked. I love Assassins.
Why didn't you like Assassins?
I loved Assassins.
Yeah, why?
Why did I?
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant musical. Mm-hmm. I think it's a musical that makes kind of a topic that you shouldn't really be listening to and musically about.
Okay.
It makes it an enjoyable musical. I know that you don't want to sit through it.
Well, no, I should tell everybody, I'm kind of phobic about gunshots. I just don't like loud, startling noises. And I think they do that about 15 times in a
second. Oh, my God, a lot.
Right up to including the final moment, you know, when they're all, everything along fires at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think I can live without it.
But my goal is actually to bring you to Assassins.
Yeah, well.
Because it's done so wonderfully. It's staged like a shooting gallery.
Uh-huh.
And they don't only put the actual assassins in, but all the attempted assassins in the show.
Right. Cool. So one of your favorite moments had to do with a funny moment, actually.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what I think is so brilliant about. They can make this whole horrible topic very light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Stephen Sondheim's brilliance. He can make serious about anything and funny about anything, because I think he's very intuitive about a lot of stuff. But
A little credit to Jerome Weidman, who didn't he write the book?
Yes. That's true. Yeah. Although everything it just all goes to Stephen. We all got that little.
By the way, I want not to apologize, but tell everybody your voice is a little shot today.
Oh yeah.
You have a bit of a cold, or what?
I've been getting over my annual theater cold.
Is it, you blame it on the theater?
Yes, of course.
Your spring theater cold.
Because for the last couple of weeks, about 4 or 5 weeks, I've been seeing 3 or 4 shows a week,
mm-hmm.
and getting involved with a lot of people, and someone always gives me a germ at the end of the season.
Hopefully just indirectly, but...
Definitely indirectly.
Okay, back to
the Assassins.
Funny moment.
The funny moment in Assassins, excuse me, is Sarah Jane Moore, who's the second attempted assassin of Gerald Ford,
mm-hmm.
and... Basically,
you know, for a clumsy guy, he evaded 2 different assassins. He's not so clumsy, you know?
Yeah, well, he's clumsy in the show.
Reagan couldn't avoid one, you know.
Well, yeah, Reagan just got minorly hit.
Well, yeah. But Ford didn't get any... He fell. He fell and missed the bullet.
Well, actually, Sarah Jane Moore, I don't think, could get off a shot.
Oh.
Which is the point of her thing.
Yeah.
And then I think Squeaky Fromm misfired... Right. It was like they were too disastrous. And Sarah Jane Moore is like this wannabe something. Her life is totally loser. And she never succeeded at anything. So why she thought she was going to do this and why she did it was beyond me.
Now, can I ask you, did you see the original Assassin when it was playing off? You did not?
No, I did not.
Okay. And so this was, though, a major recommendation on your part for the show.
It is. So well staged.
I know I should
and
see
so,
it.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe when it closes and they have it at Lincoln Center, I'll watch the tape or something. You know, that'd be the really sneaky
I'll
kind
take
of
you.
Right.
I'll hold your hand. I'll make I'm sure you're not fighting.
Hold my ears. That's another thing. My hand I don't need.
You know when they're going to fire the shot.
Every single time. I think the first shot is off stage anyway. But isn't it? Isn't it when they go McKinley?
They shot... No, McKinley's on... Well, no, because he's on stage and he shoots and McKinley's off stage.
Oh, okay.
But there are a lot of shots. But you know what it is? I think it also, there's so many that it numbs you to
After
the
After a while, maybe. You're just sort of, although, you know, I don't want to stay on this topic, but I remember forcing myself to see the Kentucky Cycle, because that was playing around the same time Angels in America was,
right.
and it was kind of between the two of them. And Kentucky Cycle was a very good play, very long, 3.5 hour, twice, you know, 8 different one acts and put together, very
I thought that was a brilliant
violent history of America. But my God, I was sitting there like, is it going to happen now? Is Stacey Kitch going to fire the? No, not that.
But there's so many gunshots on Broadway, and some of them really make me jump. I don't know how you.
I know. I mean, some of the sound designs. I mean, I love Golda's Balcony. I think it's brilliant. But especially when I started Broadway and I started
fighting,
I was like, jeeps! Yeah, I almost used a word that the FCC would have hurt me for, but I'm not going to.
No, don't do that.
No, will not.
But I think that even you can sit through Assassins. If you sat through all the other stuff.
Yeah, but I'm older and my ticker's a little weaker, perhaps.
No.
And my bladder, too.
I'll get you the adult diapers.
Really?
I'll
go.
It just depends.
I'm not speaking of adult diapers. That has nothing to do with anything. Let's go on to a show that we mentioned a little while ago called Bombay Dreams. This one we both saw. It did not get nominated for a Best Musical Tony, which means it's going to have a very difficult time staying open the next couple of weeks, or certainly through the summer. And produced by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Although I think it's going to get foreign tourists. I think it's going to do well in group sales with the foreign tourists.
If it can, remember, Mamma Mia, which is the same kind of piece of crap.
Yeah.
But very popular. It was a Tony winner, of all things. I think it won a Tony that year. God help us.
No, it didn't win Tony for Best Musical.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
I think it was up against the producers, wasn't it?
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was the year before or after. It was certainly nominated.
It was nominated, but I don't, you know... That's why I was hoping for Bombay Dreams, really, because I don't think it's terrible. It's based on the production of a Bollywood movie, which is India's Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And all the movies are, there's so few people, I think, in the United States who've seen Bollywood movies. I actually have.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces when I was a kid watching Channel 47 on Sunday morning or Saturday mornings, they'd show the musical clips before MTV. And they were fun, and I kind of like the sparringness of the music.
Right, but also the stories are so whacked. It's always a boy or a girl from the slums makes good, meets a boy or a girl, a man or a woman who's very wealthy, and then of course the person who is very wealthy is always the evil person. I mean, they're very. It's like.
And you don't think people are appreciating, or critics are appreciating, how the book, which has been maligned for the musical, is really actually trying to ape. In a funny way, the stories. They're just not getting the fact that they have to put all that... Like,
you know, I say they shouldn't really say that, but then, on the other hand, I think, trying to be fair, well, do we really have to know what a Bollywood movie is to enjoy,
I think it's just a wittier script and more believable.
And I also think they alluded to it in the show a couple of times. They did have little things like, in every Bollywood movie this happens. And
which is cute, but I think they blew it right at the beginning. They have a narrator. The hero is also narrating.
Right.
And it's very confusing because he's saying, we're going to watch a Bombay movie now. And, he tells that this is a whole Bombay, and then it starts to be his story. And we're not really sure if we're watching a movie of his story, or just a movie. And if you're going to have a narrator, he might as well be clear.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
Well, that was probably in the revised version. I didn't see this in London. But I could.
No, I'm talking like 3 weeks ago.
I know, saying, but yeah. But they revised the book for.
With Thomas Meehan, the producer's guy, the reviser. What did you think of the music?
The music I thought was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very simplistic. It's just like a Bollywood music. I mean, I thought I'd hate Shakalaka Baby because it's like the same lyrics.
But the number was very. It was pretty cool.
Number. They always have, in all Bollywood films, they pretty much always have this water number, which is a lot of dancing, and it's very much evokes like the 30s or 40s musicals, the movie musicals of the 30s and 40s. And they always had that top shot, which is famous from Busby Berkeley's top shot. And they're always slow motion. There's water driplets. You just see it all. And they're always twirling.
I'm surprised they missed that element of it, too, that it's not supposed to be... I mean, the movies, musicals of the 30s and 40s were not brilliant plots. And I mean, they were just fun, but I do also understand that Bombay is not as good as it could have been. It should have been more special, and I should have given a crap,
But what do you think of that versus The Boy from Oz? Did you really...
Better than The Boy from Oz.
Yeah.
I should say, I thought the first 15 minutes of The Boy from Oz was really good. When it starts with the story and the kid playing him and, his family, as soon as he meets Judy and then Liza, even though two good actresses and potentially really interesting material, something happened.
You know what?
Liza got her big TV number.
You know what happened?
Was out of it.
I'll tell you what happened is I believe they candy coated the Liza and Judy parts because Liza's the only person who's alive to look at this show.
And even that is questionable. No.
David, please. Geffen. But
Guest.
Sorry, David.
Geffen, too. I mean, considering the types of people she marries. But he may be next at the
moment. Don't make me cough.
Yes, okay. Don't have the... Oh, God, we don't have much time.
Oh, I'm
I need
sorry.
To get to, like, Primate, which closed. So, people, you cannot see this. It closed.
It's probably better off for you.
Out. Yeah, and there was no Tony nomination.
It actually was the show that closed... Not quickest, but so quietly on Broadway. They closed it on Saturday and announced it on Monday after the Tony nomination, which makes you wonder, you know, if they got a nomination, would they not have been closed?
Yeah, they would have run it at least a week to see what, if they had gotten a nomination, it probably would have been for Andre the Shields playing the ape.
Right.
And if he did, then they would say, oh, maybe he'll bring in or the Tony nomination. It'll be worth running another week or two.
Well,
their advance sale was like $5,000.
They
had
nuts. No, it was not less than that, I think. I don't think they had any advance sale because they ran for 3 weeks. And I remember looking at the attendance.
Yeah.
They ran 6% the first week.
Right.
8% the second week, I think 14%, a big jump.
And then they started comping all the critics, and I mean, I was like,
yeah.
So what did you think of it real quick?
I thought it could have been an interesting play. I think the fact that she was deaf, I didn't think that had to be there. I mean, it was good at one point. I think there was gratuitous nudity.
Which I'm all for, but it was like not pleasant.
It was icky.
The actress was humiliating herself.
Yeah.
To do this, among other things. You've probably read about this one, folks, but yeah.
You tell it, because I can't even say
I'm not even going to bother. Well, I have to go
ahead.
Involving an ape that she gets urinated on by, and then he gets sexually aroused and is about to rape her, ape rape, and so she calms him down in the usual, like, you know, high school cheerleader sort of way of like, oh, just, you know, with no gloves.
Let me masturbate you.
Yeah, thank you, yes, which is gross. And then she has another scene. She isn't even naked in those scenes. She's making another scene where she's trying to give AIDS to a guy. Oh, please.
It's
masochism by the actress.
Who actually wasn't all that good anyway.
She wasn't, and her voice was annoying. She's supposed to be narrating. Quickly, we're getting now back to the season itself. Even away from the awards, away from all that.
Mm-hmm.
Best and worst of 2003-2004 Broadway season. Or off-Broadway.
Okay. My absolute favorites, and I always quantify that the best, I think, is the one you enjoy the most.
Cool.
The show I enjoyed the most was Avenue Q. I could sit through that day and night.
Isn't that joyful?
I mean, it does not suck to be
on
Avenue Q.
You're the second critic I've had on here in the past who just, like, loved Avenue Q and raved.
Oh, it's magnificent.
And I like it, too. I mean, I'm okay if Wicked wins on certain things, but it'd be fine if Avenue Q took it. Yeah.
Did you hear they're having a new big thing about their Tony nomination? They've changed the marquee on the theater and everything. It says, don't suck, vote Q. They're giving out buttons and all. It's hilarious. They've changed everything for the Tony nomination.
Worst.
The worst thing I saw this year was the most annoying 6 dance lessons in 6 weeks.
Was that this season?
Yes.
I keep thinking it was last season. I forgot about that one. Oh, yeah, that was bad.
I mean...
That was bad.
I don't know. I didn't
Not
like...
Not as bad as Primate.
Well, I didn't like seeing someone jerk off
a gorilla.
A gorilla. On stage. But I think just the annoyance of having them rolling up that carpet and rolling it out every single scene.
Oh, I remember it for the dance lesson.
Oh, that was hard. It had to be the worst directed show I've ever seen.
And, you know, if you think Frank Langella is out there in Match being very effeminate, let's not forget Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill tried not to be effeminate, though, I thought.
Oh, okay. He failed.
He really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I sat there going, oh, my God, I wish he was a lot more feminine in that role, and I wish Polly Bergen would try and be mean.
Oh, I miss Polly. She had broken her leg by that time already. I saw the understudy.
Oh, you were lucky.
She was, she was okay, but the play was like, bleh. All right.
Well, it's good community theater fare.
Well,
you'll be seeing it on Long Island soon.
I know. Well, no, you know what? The Broad Hollow's getting good. They don't do always that kind of crap anymore.
No, but there are other community theaters that won't.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, no crap here. Well, I said, oh, what a terrible segue. Jeff Goodman, I want to thank you so much for what that segment was. Well, no, a non-crappy show, if you want to see it, is called Two on the Isle, and it's on Manhattan Cable Television. Every other week, I don't know the exact end time, but go to MNN.com to find out. We think it's Tuesday nights at 10 on Channel 57, but I can't be sure. Just check MNN.com. Jeff Goodman, I want to thank you so much for coming to the Daverhood today.
Always a pleasure to be here, Dave.
Wonderful, wonderful to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you.